to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 33. Deuteronomy, chapter number 33. Let's look at verse number 26. The Bible says, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. The shield of thy help, who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." Brother Steve Rowland, you pray tonight for us, brother. Amen. Amen. Interested in verse number 29. I've preached a different message out of this passage of Scripture before. He said, "Happy art thou, O Israel." Then this phrase here is what I'm interested in, where he says, "Who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord." I like that word saved. Amen. That's a Bible word. It's a lot of folks getting away from that nowadays, and they're just trying to get people in and get them signed up on membership. But Jesus, He wants to see people old time saved, old time born again, blood bought, Holy Ghost filled. And I'm glad I'm one of them tonight, ain't you? Amen. "Who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord?" I'm glad I'm an old-time Christian tonight. Amen. Listen to me tonight. There's a lot in this Bible that's said about being saved. And listen, I'm glad I'm saved. There's some eternal things that I've got settled in my heart tonight. I've got an eternal witness inside of me letting me know I'm a child of God. Amen. He walks with me. He talks with me. Hey, he scolds me sometimes. Hey, and he encouraged me a lot of times when I need encouragement. I'm glad that Jesus knew just exactly what we needed and when he sent the Holy Ghost to indwell us forever. Amen? We need help, don't we? Yes, sir, we sure do. I've got an eternal witness and I've got an eternal word. I'm glad this word right here, it's settled and it'll never pass away. I'm glad I've got me a good King James Bible tonight. I can look and I can know what God has got to say to me and to you. Amen? Ain't that good that God would give us a word tonight? Hey, I ain't serving a dead God tonight. I'm serving a living God and I've got a living word tonight. And let me tell you something, friend. I'm headed to an eternal world tonight that He's prepared for me and for His children tonight. I'm glad He's a-coming for me one day. Amen? Yes, sir. An eternal world, and I've been saved from an eternal wrath. Amen? Boy, that's a blessing, ain't it? There's a hell to shun tonight. Amen? I'm glad I ain't got to go to hell tonight. I ain't worried about that. I got it settled a long time ago. I'm glad I'm headed to His eternal heaven tonight. I'm just glad to be an old-time Christian, ain't you? I got a few things I want to point out to you in the Word of God tonight, thinking on these terms of salvation. First of all, I want to say there's a lot in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that gave us prophecy and promises of salvation. Amen? First of all, I want you to notice that from Genesis chapter 1 through Revelation chapter number 22, the Bible is all about getting people saved. Getting people to come to the knowledge of the truth. And the preaching and the teaching and the Word of God is so important to show people that they need a Savior in their life. Amen. Listen, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, the subject, one of the great subjects of the Bible is salvation. And I'm glad that God had that on His mind. Amen. Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. He knew that man would fall, and He knew that man would need a Savior. And God worked out a great and wonderful plan that men, women, boys, and girls could be born again and have their souls saved from a devil's hell. The subject, not only the subject of this promise and prophecy of salvation, but the Son, the seed. I want you to turn with me in Genesis chapter number 3 for just 1 minute. Early on in the Word of God in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve had fallen in the garden through the temptation of Satan. Verse 14, now God has moved in on the scene to help provide some things for them. Now He says in verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of their life. And I still don't like snakes. Amen. He said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. This is a word of prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ that God would one day send into the world. And all through the Old Testament right here, you'll see the Son. Hey, this seed right here that would come from the woman. Man would not father this child, but the Holy Ghost of God would be the one that conceived this child through the virgin womb of Mary. Listen to me tonight. These promises and prophecies of salvation are precious things. Amen. Because lost man needs a Savior. Hey, we're just passing through this life for a short time. It's time to get ready for eternity. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time, is what God warns people in the Word of God. We've got just a short time. We don't know the number of our days. But it's time for folks to think about salvation and eternity. Amen. The subject and the seed and the scope. The scope of this Bible right here. There's over 400 prophecies in the Old Testament that's fulfilled in Christ. That's a lot, ain't it? I think God's very much interested in salvation. He gave man before Jesus ever come on the scene. He gave him 400 prophecies in here of what to look for, what to hope for, the promise that one day He'd send a Savior into the world to bear the sins of all mankind. I say there's a lot of promises and prophecies of salvation in the Old Testament. Not only that, but I want you to notice some pictures of the Savior. If you go through the types of the shadows of Christ in the Old Testament, it's amazing if you do a study on that and just begin looking. You can go all the way back into Genesis chapter number 1. And you'll see right here, in the very, very beginning right here, says the earth, this is chapter 1, verse number 2, says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. This is no doubt a picture of a lost man. It can be a type and a picture of somebody that's lost in darkness with no hope. Void. Their life is void. Their life is useless, friend, until God brings light to them, Brother Lee, and shows them their lost condition, and then things will go to picking up in a lost person's life. Amen. I'm glad for the Bible tonight. I'm glad for the pictures of the Savior that I see all through the pages of the Word of God. Ain't you? Amen. I want you to notice now a second picture right here in Genesis chapter number 2. In Genesis chapter number 2, you'll see in verse 21 and 22, God has formed man. And He said it's not good that man should be alone. And then in verse 21 He says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. and the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Listen to me. Boy, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ right here. Amen? It's a picture of Christ. It's God, because Adam, God was about to make a bride for Adam. Amen? And He caused him a great deep sleep to come upon him. And He took He opened up his side, He took a rib out of his side, and from that He made woman. Well, if you look over into the book of John, you remember when they crucified Christ, they came to Him to break His legs, and He was dead already, and yet a soldier still reached up there, and he pierced His side with a spear. He opened up his side. Hey, you remember when old Thomas wasn't at the Sunday night meeting? And he got all puffed up when they said, the Lord's been here. And he said, well, I ain't going to believe it till I put my fingers in the print of His hand and thrust my hand into His side. And when Jesus come upon the scene again, and Thomas was there, He told old Thomas to put your finger in the prints of my hand. And listen to this phrase now, what Jesus told him. He said, thrust your hand into my side. You know why his side was still open? Because the bride wasn't complete yet. Hey, the side of Jesus is still open today, friend. The bride ain't complete yet, but one of these glorious days, that last person's going to walk the aisle. Hey, the bride's going to be completed, and we are going to the house. Amen. I say glory be to God for the Word of God tonight. I like the pictures of Jesus. I like it when you find a nugget in the Bible, Brother Jerry. Amen. Whoa, I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm glad that side was open. One day when I was lost and undone, I realized I was on my way to hell. I'm glad the side of Jesus was open. On Calvary's cross. And I had a chance at salvation. Because of Him. Oh, listen to me. The pictures of the Savior. Not only in Genesis number 1 and number 2, but in Genesis chapter 3. I want you to notice something again in Genesis chapter number 3. You'll find in Genesis chapter 3, Satan comes on the scene. He deceives Eve through lies and gets her to take that of what God had told her not to do. Now, if you'll look back in Genesis chapter number 2, notice this right here. In Genesis 2 and 17, the Bible says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day, listen now, that's a big phrase right there, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, I want you to notice something right here. This death was a spiritual death, no doubt. But I believe also it was a physical death. A physical death. There was no sacrifice for sin at that time. Listen, the wages of sin is death. Amen. But I want you to notice this. What happened then? As Eve was deceived and she gave to Adam and he did eat. And then in chapter 3 and verse 8 the Bible says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They realized their nakedness and they began to work that day to cover themselves with leaves. And now God moves on the scene. The Bible says in the cool of the day. It was getting the evening time, I believe. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam. He said, where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me. And I did eat. You know what they just did? They just confessed their guilt. They confessed their guilt. And the wages of sin is death. Isn't it amazing right here that God shows up in the cool of the day? They were under a sentence of death, Brother Lee. But you'll find just a little bit further over in this chapter right here. the Bible says unto Adam also and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. What happened right here? I see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ right here. I see a picture of God giving His Son right here. I see of God providing a way that they might be covered, that their sins might be pushed forward toward Calvary. Listen to me tonight. Oh, ain't God good to us? Ain't God good to us? Oh, He made the clothes of skin. I want you to notice something right here in your Bible. The very first blood sacrifice that was ever made was made by God. The very last sacrifice that was ever needed was made by God. Amen. Jesus died on Calvary's cross. Jesus cried, "It is finished. No more sacrifices needed." No. The blood of bulls and goats and calves and whatever, friend. All the blood that had flowed like a river down through the ages there. It's forever settled. Jesus paid it all. And all to Him we owe. Pictures of the Savior. Boy, you can just jump from chapter to chapter. Boy, you can find Jesus everywhere. Amen. He's all over the pages of your Bible. God has given Him to us. His beloved Son. What a gift He's given to us. The promise and prophecy of salvation. The pictures of the Savior. Then there's the price of salvation. You know, our salvation didn't come cheap. Didn't come through a lamb or a goat, a calf. But it come through the darling Son of God, the Lamb of God. You know, it's astounding to me. It's so astounding to me that God would give His Son, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, that He would send Him here to die for the likes of me. That He'd take my place in death. That He'd deliver me from hell. And give me life. The price of salvation in Romans. You know, there's so much said about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich. Yet for our sakes He became poor. That through His poverty we might be made rich. But in Romans chapter number 5. The Bible says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We were all under a sentence of death. Not just physical death, I'm talking about eternal death. Eternal dying in hell for the sins that we've all committed. But God loved us so much. He saw our lost condition and He had compassion. Sin separates from God. It still does that even though you're saved. It'll break fellowship with God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But sin has always, always had a wage to pay. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. So a great price had to be paid for our salvation. Because we were under the sentence, the law of sin and death had us bound. Till grace come along through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, man was lost, but God had a love for you and I that's just unbelievable. In Romans chapter 5 again, the Bible says this, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for good people." For those that He just handpicked? No. Christ died for the ungodly. That's amazing love, isn't it? "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, in our ungodly condition, enemies of God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now, why? Why shouldn't we be thankful? Why shouldn't we feel like debtors to the grace of God? You didn't do anything good enough to deserve salvation. God didn't come your way because He thought you'd make a good Christian. God come your way because you was a heartbeat out of hell. And He loved you and He had compassion on you. And He offered you a chance at life. A great price. God's love for mankind. But Christ's love for mankind. Have you ever thought about the Lord Jesus Christ paying that great price on Calvary? He was willing to leave the glories of heaven. Come and take upon Himself the form of a servant made in the likeness of man. And humble Himself unto death. They didn't take His life. He humbled Himself and He laid His life down for you and me. And He come forth from the grave for you and for me. The way they beat Him, the way they mocked Him, spit upon Him, the way they cursed Him. He could have called legions of angels to rescue Him, but He had you and He had me on His mind. What a love He had. He was willing to come. He was willing to take that cup in the garden. You remember when His sweat became as great drops of blood, and as he had that cup He was talking about there, willing to take that cup. And I wonder what He was seeing when He looked into that cup where His sweat became as great drops of blood. But it was God's will for Him to take that cup. I know what He saw. He saw me. He saw you. He saw our sins. And He had to be willing to go to a cross and allow God the Father, as He hung there in open shame, to place all the sins of the cup of the whole world upon His Son. He that knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Christ. He is our righteousness tonight. He is our mercy seat. He ought to be our everything in life. Price of salvation, we take it for granted. Amen. We take Him for granted. You know what we often do with Jesus? Glad. I'm glad He still loves us. You know what a lot of folks do with Jesus? They keep Him for a spare tire. Amen? They just need Him when they get in trouble. But when a great need comes up, that's the only time they pray. When a storm comes up in life, then they want to go to church. Well, they want Jesus to show up right on time and be the help right on time that they need. Just an old spare tire. He ought to be Lord of all in our life. We're so indebted to Him. If somehow, some way, we could look into the corridors of hell tonight, and if we could hear the screams, Brother Lee, and the crying that's going on in hell tonight, and realize that Jesus delivered us from that place, I think we'd be more worshipful. I think we'd give Him more praise and thanksgiving. Because listen to me. Hey, listen to me. He can let you go. He can let you plunge off into a devil's hell. But He loves you enough to come to you and convict you of your sins and draw you with cords of love to salvation. Brother Howard, there's so many of them old boys we used to run with still lost. Why He chose? Why He chose us? I don't know. But I thank Him for it tonight. not only the promise and prophecy of salvation throughout the Old Testament, the pictures of the Savior throughout the Old Testament, the price of salvation that He paid to set us free. But not only that, but lastly this, the people who were saved. I'm glad I can testify that I'm saved. I'm glad I got a place and a time I can go back and say, this is when God dealt with me. This is when Holy Ghost conviction come upon me. This is when I cried out to God, and this is when He came in and He filled me and He saved me. I'm glad I've got that testimony in my life. And you know what it's done to me? And to you, if you say this, it's made you a peculiar person. Real peculiar to this world. You see, when people are Holy Ghost filled, and get filled with the Word of God, and get filled with the praise of God, you look real strange to this old world. I remember when I was lost, Brother Lee. A lot of folks in my mother's side of my family was good Christian folks. And I get around them sometime, they could just say the word saved. Lord, it'd scare me to death. I mean, it was something special about saved people. I knew they were saved. And I knew they had something I didn't have. And boy, just like, I don't know, it just unnerved me being lost, because I couldn't say I was saved. Now I can. Now I'm peculiar to the world. The old boys that I used to work with years ago, Lord, we was rough. Things were rough up there where I was working, the things we were doing. But I come in one Monday morning, I said, boy, I got saved. I thought they'd just jump with joy. But they didn't. One of them didn't even look up. He just said, more power to you. And you know what? The years that I'd been working with them, we'd go to lunch every day. Somebody'd holler, well, it's lunchtime. Where we going? We'd take off some restaurant in town. You know what I found out? The lunch call got real quiet. I'd look around every day and they'd be gone. I got real peculiar to them. And they didn't really want to be around me that much. Until a trouble come up in their life and they wanted, you know, they got interested in God a little bit then. They wanted somebody to get in touch with God and see if they could get things worked out. That's the way people are. People are saved or peculiar. We're supposed to be. And we're supposed to be showing forth the praises of the one who saved us. We're peculiar and we're preserved. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Ain't you glad you hear His voice? I'm glad I can hear His voice. Sometimes He, probably more times than not, He's scolding me. Amen. See, we all flesh. We need a lot of correction. We need a lot of guidance. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. If you're in His fold tonight, He's going to see that you follow Him. Amen? I mean now, if you own the flock of sheep, you had charge over them, you were the shepherd, you're going to see after them, ain't you? You're going to make sure they follow you. Our Lord is the same way. And if you need a good, hey, He's got the rod. If you need a good correcting, He can correct you and get you back in line. Been there and done that. Amen. We're preserved, though. He said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Safe in His fold. We're preserved. People are saved, are peculiar, preserved. Not only that, but we are pilgrims. Over in Hebrews, I'm closing with this right here tonight. In Hebrews 13, the Bible says this. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. That's a strange thing about saved people, ain't it? We're citizens of another country. We're pilgrims and strangers just passing through this land. We're only here for a short time. Here we have no continuing city, but we're seeking one to come. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He's there today. One of these days, we'll be able to walk up to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the saints of old. See them over there in the city that God's prepared for His children. Ain't that peculiar? I ain't too worried about who gets to be president. Because I don't believe nothing they say. And I don't believe there's nothing they can do to change this world's course. I'm just seeking the city. Know it's getting close at hand. Notice what he said after that verse in 14 and now in 15. He said, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. He says, by Him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Ain't nothing like being an old-time Christian. Giving praise to His name. We owe it to Him. So one of these days soon, God's people are getting out of here. Believe that with all my heart. And I got something right here before me that I can stand on. Amen. Good to see you tonight. I appreciate you being here.